So we're going to merge together during our Advent series the first Advent that we're remembering and celebrating and proclaiming that Jesus Christ came as Messiah to save the world from its sin, but also looking to that second coming, that he is going to come again and to reign and to rule in righteousness here on this earth. Realize for a moment with me, and I don't want to take a lot of time giving a preliminary look into this, but before Jesus came as a babe in the manger, what were the people on earth waiting for at that time? The Messiah, the first Advent. There were people just like us, not in fancy buildings and clothes like us, but probably in dusty roads over in the east, waiting for the Messiah, waiting for Jesus. Any day, and you see it in the Christmas story, when Mary was visited, me chosen? Who's going to believe it, that Jesus was really coming in this first Advent? Similarities in the second Advent when he returns. We are now, the Church of Jesus Christ, waiting for a second Advent. And during that waiting period, sometimes it gets long. Sometimes we lose focus. Sometimes we're not quite sure what's going on. So, but I said that this series might get long because I was encouraged by an individual I was talking to. Typically when I do Christ Our Coming King, I do a series through the book of Revelation. But for whatever reason, I wasn't planning on doing it this year. I was just going to finish after Christmas and go on to something else. But someone says, teach us what to look for. So I might be doing that. That means we'll be looking through all the end time stuff, the tribulation, the seals, the trumpets, the Antichrist, all those things. Does that interest anyone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll be doing that till Easter. Yes, okay. Marcus, thank you. Now, Marcus put the bug in me to do that. I'm thinking, it's good. It just gets really heavy and intense and looking and learning, but we can do it together because we want to learn, right? So let's look at what the Alliance believes and holds to when we say Christ our coming King to power our full for gospel. We're talking about the second Advent. That's when Jesus is going to come again to earth. Now, I want to just preface this by saying there is also what many will interpret from Scripture and believe, the gathering up of the bride of Christ, as known as the rapture. How many have heard the term rapture? Okay, but it's a gathering up. The word rapture you won't find in Scripture. And I just wanted to let you know from the very beginning, the Christian and Missionary Alliance do not hold a position on the rapture. There's teaching out there that it's going to be a pre-trib rapture, a mid-trib rapture, a post-trib rapture, a blink, whatever rapture. There's all kinds, and there's even some when I was doing my ordination back in the early 2000s with the Alliance. My mentor even had another position on the rapture I never heard of before. He goes, but don't worry about it. I'm still working through it too. So the Alliance does not hold a position when it comes to the rapture. We will talk about that in the series that will go into next year. But I say that because I don't want you to say, well, Pastor, what do we believe? Are we pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? Or whatever trip you want to be, but the Star Tribune is good too. So we will not focus on that. I will teach you the understanding of each one of them from Scripture. But we as a denomination that holds one. So we're looking at the second coming. So when we talk about the second coming, we're not talking about the rapture of the church. We're talking about Jesus physically returning to the earth. And we'll look at this more later, but when he returns to the earth, the church returns with him. So at some point, the church has got to be gathered up if we're going to return with them for the millennial reign. We'll look at that more. But the understanding is that from Hebrews 10 and verse 37, that our position in Christ our coming King is that he is coming, is an imminent return. How many understand what the word imminent means? Someone shout it out. Any minute. It can take it because half before I say the next word. So our position is that there's nothing else that has to take place before the return of our Savior comes to earth. So our position is the imminent return. It can happen at any moment. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37, Scripture reads, "For in just a little while, the coming one, Jesus, will come and not delay." Now, you'll see that, you'll see that when Jesus was lifted up to the sky in Acts chapter 1, when he ascended to heaven, they stood there waiting because they wanted him to come back right then. And we see through Scripture about, it won't be long, it could be today, it's going to be without delay. And some of you may be thinking, how long is a delay and a not delay? But remember, what does Scripture also say about a day in the mind of God?
Thousand years.
So in God, he's not delaying. He's not slow about his promises. His promises are true. You can hold on to them. The second advent of the Christ our coming King will be personal, visible, and premillennial. Meaning, his return will come before the millennial kingdom is set up. There's also other positions on that. We won't get into them now, but I'm teaching you what the Alliance holds to and what we believe is premillennial. In Luke chapter 21, verse 27, Scripture says, "Everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory." The second advent of Christ our coming King is the believers, the Church of Jesus Christ. It's our hope. It's our blessed hope. And it should motivate us to live holy lives of service for our King who is going to return. As disciples who are living in the last days, we are to live this life in an evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Titus 2, verses 12 and 13. Listen to this. We are to live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He is coming. And Scripture says it is an evil world that we live in. But the believer, the church, the disciple, we are to live in these days with wisdom. Where does wisdom come from?
God.
Righteousness. Where does our righteousness come from? And to devotion to God. What does it mean to be devoted to God? I would like to use the word disciple there. A disciple. These evil days we live in, these last days we live in, we are to live them in wisdom, righteousness, and as a disciple. I refer to the passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 1. The last days began the moment Jesus ascended to heaven. You notice when Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the disciples kept looking to the sky. But then some men in white clothes met them and said, "Why are you looking? Go do what you're here to do. He will return the same way that he left." So, for the church, we'll refer to the last days. The last days actually began the moment Jesus left. So we've been living in the last days for a few days now. And don't worry, he will not delay in his return. He is coming. It's a promise. Everything that God has said has taken place. And everything that has still been prophesied about will also take place. Now I want to look at the scripture passage that Pastor Charles read earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 3. See, Paul starts to explain for us what these last days are all about, what they're like. And Paul was writing to Timothy, and Timothy was a disciple of Paul. Now many of you in our church have gotten in a discipleship relationship, and you're meeting, and you're studying, and you're growing, and you're learning. And in this case, what Paul did as a disciple maker of Timothy, Paul wrote Timothy notes, letters. We call them the epistles, but they're a letter. So a part of Paul's discipling of this young disciple, he wrote him this letter. So this letter that Paul wrote to his disciple also is a letter that's written for us today as the Church of Jesus Christ. And in the first verse of chapter 3, Paul explains about the last days. In the last days, there will be very difficult times. Very difficult times. Now, these difficult times, if you do some research and study them, they're described as troublesome, trying, uneasy, hard, violent, threatening, dangerous, unsafe, terrifying, extreme. I can go on and on and on. Sometimes you ask somebody and they're being honest with you, how's your day? Oh, it's a difficult day. We do have difficult days. But the messages Paul is expressing to Timothy and to us today is that you haven't seen anything yet. It's going to be extremely difficult. Extremely violent. Evil is going to run rampant. And church, are we seeing it take place? It is. I always hate turning the news on. Wait for about 10 or 12 minutes, get the weather, then turn it back off. But it's just as heart-wrenching. And I think here's my concern for the church today. We get numb to what's going on. Oh, it's just another mass shooting. Oh, it's just another whatever. And we're growing numb to this. And so the key, I believe, is what is taking place between Paul and Timothy. This disciple-making relationship, this disciple-making team. Paul, with all his heart, wants Timothy to be informed. He wants him to be aware, and he wants him, obviously, to know how to handle these difficult days, these evil times, the things that will take place, and for us as well. So any good parent wants to inform their children on how to handle things that take place in life. And anyone that is a follower of Jesus Christ as a disciple ought to have the same passion to warn others how to handle what is taking place around us. Evil things will continue to happen, but the church must not grow cold. The church must not just turn the other cheek and pretend it never happened. We have a mission as disciples of Jesus Christ during these difficult, evil, extreme days. Even though every one of us would love to see our society improve, wouldn't you love it? That there, all this violence, all this hatred, all this division would be rid of. We would all love that. But it's not going to happen. It's going to continue to deteriorate. We have the enemy who lives, when he was removed from heaven, where did he go? To Rome. This earth. This is his home. Where's the home of every believer? In heaven. So this isn't our home. So we're aliens here, scripture tells us. We're just here temporarily. We're here like a vapor. But our vapor here must make a difference in the life of other people. Because after our life ends, whether that's our day that we are called to be with our Savior or the gathering up of the church, whichever comes first, those that are left here need to know from us how they too can stand in the presence of the living God and not separated for eternity. You see, as we go on in 2 Timothy chapter 3 here, Paul makes it very clear. You can't mix these words. He says, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Here's the advice from the disciple maker Paul. Hey, Timothy, stay away from people like that. But wait a minute, Pastor. You just told us we're here to make a difference. We're here to tell you about Jesus. We are. But I want to give you this scenario in all of our lives. If we ourselves aren't living a soul-out, committed, spirit-filled, Christ-centered life, we can easily be sucked into exactly what Paul just wrote to Timothy. That's why it's so important that every one of us are a committed disciple of Jesus Christ who first understands Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. People will be religious, but they won't be godly. We have to have a life that is sanctified, a life that's been set apart for holy living. We have to understand the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. But that only takes place when we do something with the gift that's been given to us. That gift is Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit. The moment we come to faith in Him, we have this precious gift. We have to fan it into a flame. We have to let it blaze high. We have to own what we say has happened to us. Or we're nothing more than a bunch of religious people. Great churches filled with wonderful people have become buildings filled with religious people. There's a difference when a life is called out, sold out, lived out for Jesus Christ. Life for Jesus doesn't take place on Sundays between 10:30 and noon. Life for Jesus takes place every moment that you're taking breath. That's a disciple. Now I want to explain to you how disciples, we who are called out ones, we who are followers of Jesus Christ, live during an evil time like this. Everything that Scripture, that Paul shared with Timothy, we that understand God's Word, the life we're called to, the way we live our life, we also have the direction in God's Word how we are to live. So let's look at some of these here. In the last days, we're told, people will love only themselves. A disciple will love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. And they will also love their neighbor as themselves. Mark 12:30-31. So how does the disciple interact with those people living? They make the love of their life their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they love their neighbor just like they love themselves. Paul also says, in the last days, people will be lovers of money. You know what Scripture says to us disciples? A disciple will not serve two masters because he will either hate the one or love the other, or he'll hold on to one and despise the other. A disciple knows he cannot serve God and money. Matthew 6:24. See, Paul goes on to say to Timothy and to us, in the last days people will be blasphemers. A disciple will always be a worshiper of spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24. In the last days, Scripture tells us that children will be disrespectful to their parents. A disciple will always honor their father and mother. Matthew 15:4. Paul warns us that in the last days, people will be ungrateful. A disciple will be thankful in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In the last days, we're told that people will consider nothing sacred. As they live with ungodly passions, blind to modesty, decency, purity, and righteousness, and where everything is permissible and acceptable. Time out for a second. We haven't seen the worst of this yet. It's just started. However, a disciple will be holy in everything they do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Paul also tells Timothy and us, in the last days, people will love the unnatural and live the most perverted, extreme lives. Folks, our nation has already instituted the unnatural. They said the law of our land is the unnatural. And we're not the only nation. It's sweeping our world. God made man in his image. God made woman in his image. God instituted marriage between one man and one woman. If the Creator created, which he did, the Creator has the right to say how it works. Not the government. Not a people. Only one that created. As a disciple, I lost my place, excuse me. As a disciple, we will live out the understanding of true love, because God is love, 1 John 4:16. And just take a moment to understand the word love for a second. There is a romantic love, but there's a godly love, a friendship love. And in the days that are evil, when the world is perverting the word love in the sexual connotations, the disciple of Jesus Christ will live what true love means. A godly love, a brotherly love, and an intimate love, if you're married, between one man and one woman in holy matrimony. We will live the true love that God has ordained. So you can already see, for those of you that have been on this earth longer than I have, a lot of these things have intensified, a lot of these things have grown. You wouldn't have thought that you would be sitting in church in 2017 in a nation where same-sex marriage is endorsed. We live in an evil world. The end times, things are increasingly getting worse. They're called the birth pains. Ladies that have delivered children, I wasn't pregnant, but it doesn't sound like a lot of fun. The birth pain up to the delivery. And it's not a lot of fun for the birth pain of the coming of our King of Kings. These are the days leading up to his second return. And these are part of those birth pains for the second advent of Jesus Christ. Okay, some other things that Paul mentions. In the last days, people will not forgive. A disciple will forgive one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you, Ephesians 4:32. In the last days, people will slander you. A disciple will encourage one another and build one another up, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. In the last days, people will have no self-control. A disciple will walk by the Spirit and not carry out the desires of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. In the last days, people will be cruel and live out of control lives. A disciple will not be drunk with wine, living an out-of-control life, but will be filled with the Holy Spirit, living a Spirit-controlled life. Ephesians 5:18. In the last days, people will hate what is good. A disciple will not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. 3 John 11. So folks, the truth comes down to that the moment we have a life-changing relationship happen with Jesus Christ, something must also happen in the way we live our life. The message is really twofold. It's a warning for those in the Church of Jesus Christ that are just floating by the faith of everyone else. It's a warning to those in the church who are just floating by and others that are disciples and disciple makers. There's coming a time that will continually get worse as the birth of the second advent of Jesus comes, where this is going to very easily suck those that aren't grounded on the rock of their salvation right out of what they always thought they believed and held to. So, see, here's the thing. Our God is a gracious, merciful, loving, patient, forgiving God. That's why we have the Word of God, to instruct us, to teach us, to show us, to help us. That's why you came to church this morning. Well, maybe not. Maybe you came to church because, I don't know, I don't want to put anything there. But when you come where I'm at, I'm going to teach you what God's Word says so that your life and my life can be different. So that your life and my life can be found to be true to what God's Word says. And maybe you didn't come for that reason this morning. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the heaviness of this, but it's a serious thing. It's serious. You know, being on vacation for 12 days, it was great. Refreshed. Emotionally. Physically. Spiritually. It was great to be refreshed, but you know what? That didn't mean that I was on vacation for my life in Christ. That didn't mean I was on my vacation for being a disciple or follower of Jesus Christ. That never ends. That continues. Our dear friends who have been so gracious to us for years, let us go stay with them in Arizona, up to their lake house in Perm and everything. They love, I don't know why they love us, but they do. But they let us come, but they like to talk politics with us because their family's divided. A lot of liberals, and they don't believe all this stuff. And I said, I just don't want to talk politics. I'm on vacation. But it was sort of interesting because you hear a longing in their hearts for the truth for themselves, and not only for their family, but for other people to truly have the grasp and understanding of who Jesus Christ is and how to live your life for Him. I can name you churches and denominations that are just religious houses today. They're not the Church of Jesus Christ. They claim to be, but you don't see it in the fruit that they bear. What makes the Church of Jesus Christ? Born again, sold out followers of Jesus Christ, who love Him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, who are committed to being in heaven, a life that's being transformed into His likeness every day. Less of me, more of Jesus. Less of what I want, more of what He wants. Less of my control, more of His control. The moment we came to faith, the moment you came to faith, the moment I came to faith, life began, and the Holy Spirit says, what are you doing now on your journey? I want you to be prepared for what's coming ahead. I believe many of us in this room will see much more of what we just read in Scripture come true in our lifetime. Unless He comes today. We'll see it. Some of us won't, and we'll be rejoicing, and we won't care that we're missing it. But those of us that remain here and live through some of these end day things, you want to be solidly planted on the rock of your salvation so you don't budge, you don't move. So that begins by knowing Christ personally. And you know, I've been here 6-7 months now, but I don't know all of your stories spiritually. Maybe there are yet some here that have never yet said yes to Jesus. Maybe it's just a religious act. Maybe it's just, I come to church on Sundays, I'll do this. But folks, that's not going to get you to heaven. The only thing that will get you to heaven is your personal faith in Jesus as your Savior. You've heard all these stories about Peter at the gate. Forget Peter. Stand at the throne. And when the living Christ says to you, why should I let you into my heaven that the Father has prepared? The only answer you have is because of you, Jesus, in your blood. And I have placed my faith in you. Nothing else will get you into heaven. That's the only way. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Today is still today. If you haven't yet believed today, I encourage you to believe. Not with your head, anything that I said, but with your heart. So that your heart is made new. And it's simply making an act to turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe in you. Be my Savior. Thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for your blood. Those of us in this room that have Christ as our Savior, I question each one of us is, what are we doing with our life? Is it making a difference at home? Is it making a difference in your workplace, in your community? Is it making a difference every place you go? Folks, every one of us, I can almost guarantee that if we looked for it, God gives us an opportunity almost every day to make a difference for Him. The evil that's taking place gives every one of us an opportunity daily to bring the truth of who Jesus is in the darkness of what's taking place. In Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to close with this. We're told that we are to be shining lights. It's related to like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Bert and I took a train ride through the Verde Canyon in Arizona, and at one point, they said, we're coming up to a tunnel, and it's going to be pitch black. But it was. And you know what image hit my heart? That utter darkness for those who do not know Jesus. That's where they live for eternity. But then I realized the tunnel had the tracks had a curve in it. Then you start seeing the light. We are the light. And we can dispel all the darkness when we let our light shine. Nobody lights a candle and hides it under a bushel, do they? No. We let our light shine. Why do we let our light shine? So that all the glory goes to our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. Church, you got to do it with me. Put up your finger. Come on. This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Won't let Satan quit out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan quit out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
How?
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
How?
I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. How
By the shadow till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
That's what we're here for, folks. And you know what? If we can shine it here, we can shine it every place we go.